It's time to take a break with Gene and Mary. Every weekday at noon Eastern Time, join us as we talk about what's on our minds. Email us at contactgeneandmary@gmail.com or interact with us on Facebook for your chance to win a prize every week.
Warning! Side effects of this show may include jocularity, increased knowledge, a couple of stutters, a few ands and ums, and a great way to spend 15 minutes. How are you doing, Gene?
Oh, good, good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really excited to start today's show because I want to continue what we talked about last week.
Yeah? What was that?
I think we were talking about wanderlust.
Oh, yeah.
And we were discussing how I always wanted to go to Spain and I never quite got there and different things that we wanted to do. And we really, because I am the Jabberjaw, remember the cartoon about the shark called Jabberjaw?
Yeah, I do. Jabberjaw.
That's me. I'm Jabberjaw. I talk. And Gene just goes, Yeah, I agree. I love him. He's great for that.
I understand.
Our word of the day yesterday was wanderlust. And that made me start thinking. I have another word of today's day. And I want to continue the discussion. There's so much I don't have time in 15 minutes to say it all. So I got more to say, and Gene can sit over there and go,
girl. Well, so is it the same word of the day?
No.
Oh, okay. It's a new one. Awesome.
This one is called peregrination.
Wow. What a great word.
It is. And it reminds me of what I talked about how Jennifer and I, in fact, I will just say, Jennifer and I had a peregrination on our way to pick up my cat last year. Huh. It's a journey, especially a long or meandering one. Typically when Curtis and I go for a road trip, it's a point A to point B thing.
Right.
There might be a point A plus side trip for gas and potty break, maybe food. But typically we are driving from here to there and no stopping. And we can get from my house here to where my mother used to live in about 5.5 hours, as long as he's driving. It would take a good 6+ for me.
Right.
We can get from our home here in Florida to his sister's home in North Carolina in about 10 hours, I think. So there are definitely a few fuel and refuel stops. However, I love these little side trips that was one of the things I loved to do with my mother was take her in the car and just go. Usually I had a destination in mind because she would always say, where are we going? Uh-huh. And I couldn't tell her what my father used to tell us when we'd ask him that question. We're going to the going place.
The going place.
That was it. And what are we going to do when we get there? He's going, we'll do the doing thing.
The doing thing. We're going to go and do.
If we were going to go to the store, well, what are we going to get? We're going to get the getting stuff. He never, ever, ever gave us a straight answer. And you wonder why I'm as twisted as I am. Well, my dad was full of fun.
Well, you know, my kids and I used to go on day trips like that. That was one of the things we enjoyed doing. I was a full-time student and so I spent time with, I could schedule my time with them.
Yeah.
And so we'd get in the truck and go all over the place, go for a day trip here and there, and saw some things that we would never have gone to see and experienced if I hadn't made it a point to go do it, you know.
If I had to do it all over again with my sons, I would homeschool them.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when my oldest son, he had full custody of his child, and then he was going off on a sea cruise. He was going to be gone for, I think, 9 months this time. And he didn't have a wife at that point in his life. So he didn't know what he was going to do with his toddler. Mm-hmm. Ended up, he went back to stay with his mom, which was fine. Oh, I wanted that kid to come stay with me. I would have taken him on so many exciting excursions.
Sure.
And here in Florida, especially here in Central Florida, there are lots of places to go. A lot of things to do. I used to do that I had a informal photography group that I associated with. It was interesting how it came about. Back in the good old days of Facebook being the Facebook we all grew up with and no one used to love.
Knew and loved, yeah.
I could post my pictures on Facebook and people would comment on them. And they'd see everybody on my friends list actually saw my pictures. They saw all of my news feed. And so I had a woman that I didn't know. She was a friend of a friend of a friend or married to somebody's cousin or I don't know. But she said, I want you to teach me how to take pictures like you do. What? I'm just taking pictures. I'm not. No. She thought I, and she was shocked beyond belief when she saw my camera. She thought I had a big, fancy, you know, big camera with a long zoom lens. Mm-hmm. It was the size of a pack of cigarettes. It was a little point and shoot that my father-in-law had given me. And if my sweet, darling, beloved husband hadn't dropped it off of a ladder, I probably would still be using that camera today. It was just a phenomenal little camera. It took great pictures. And I didn't know what zooming was with a zoom lens. I knew how to get close and take macros. I knew how to get down and get the perspective that I wanted. So I took this woman out. She took me to a wildlife sanctuary called Creekshank here in Brevard County. And we photographed trees and plants and flowers, and I photographed tracks in the path. It was all dirt, no concrete at all. Mm-hmm. A little scrub sanctuary, very, very much a home for a lot of birds, including the blue scrub jays, which were endangered. They were so endangered, they came and sat on my head, but freaked me out. I was not a fan. However, I showed her my pictures, and we would stop. You know, she had a big camera, big, expensive, probably $1,000 camera that she used.
Wow.
And she showed me her camera and I showed her mine, and we'd share each other's pictures. Well,
I was going to say that exact same thing with the little point and shoots that they came out, the little square thing, like the cigarettes.
Yeah.
I got one of those and ended up joining a Flickr. Was starting. It was kind of a photography sharing, and used to go on outings with groups of people. We'd go to places and take pictures together and, you know, meet. One of my favorites, I remember, we even had like somebody brought hot dogs and stuff and had a little picnic in the park and did nature photography. It's pretty fun. I'm still actually Facebook friends with several people from that group, like, gosh, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. 30 years ago. Oh my goodness. It just keeps going. Yeah.
That's scary. You know, my ex used to say just a couple days ago or a few years ago. Well, a few years ago was always 20 or 30 years. Mm-hmm. As you get older, your memories stretch and they become more fluid, I think.
Well, it's such a short time, a year. Is when you're 60 as opposed to when you're two.
Oh,
you know,
the year I turned 17, my grandmother said, your days are now going to be they're going to run into each other and you won't even know where time goes. She said, your time of being a child is over. And she was right. From that moment on, I knew that time was fluid.
Yeah.
Time is a measurement that we give ourselves.
Yeah, it's a battle too, because if you want to do anything other than that as a time constraint, it's so foreign that it's difficult. You got to work at it to not follow the given time that everyone is following. I was thinking about that the other day, the different calendars we've had throughout history. All of a sudden, about 6,000-7,000 years ago, 100 years ago, they just decided to change the calendar. Oh, let's take out some of this, add some of this. We'll just change the numbers. Boop, here we go. You know, so it was like, okay, now it's time is different. Oh no, I'm late. I wasn't late. Oh, what? Last year we had a day here. What's going on?
You know, I used to wear a watch and then I quit wearing a watch. I found I have better grasp of time management when I don't have a watch on. Yes. I don't worry about time as much. It doesn't consume me. I control what I do in a given day. And I do, if I was working for an organization that had specific report times, I would be on, I was always on time or early. In fact, that was one of my problems. I was almost chronically early to anything that I did. And I felt like it was almost a sign of distrust to not just arrive on time. I had to be early.
Well, I always like to be early just because that way it gives me a sense of understanding, kind of get my bearings, you know, whether it's a reconnoiter or whether it's just an observation before I go in and, you know, sit down or stand, you know, be there. Definitely.
I would say that being early is an Aquarius trait.
Yeah.
It was for my mother. It is for me. It is for you, but it is not for Curtis.
No.
Curtis is a get there when he gets there type guy.
Well, and he might be one of those people that I try to exercise from time to time. And you know, there are times when you have to it builds character or shows character to be able to walk in late and be fine with it.
Yes.
You know, that, and I do that, and I've had to work on that part. So he's probably just already good at it.
He's way ahead of me in so many ways. It's crazy.
Yeah, I like to be on time if other people are counting on me. I like to be early if other people are counting on me. I like to be on time if I just need to be on time.
Right.
And I like to be late if I want everybody else to get there first.
And a lot of it depends on what your role is at the particular destination.
Exactly.
Going back to the photography outings that we used to do, those times were very much a time of peregrination. We would take a journey. Sometimes we'd be on the road for a couple of hours. We all usually pile into one car. We tried not to carpool because half the fun is the camaraderie. Sure. But then we would go to wherever we were going and wander around and explore. These were almost always places we'd never been before. None of us. So we tried to always find something that maybe somebody hadn't heard about, but nobody had ever been there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was really a lot of fun to do that.
Well, I know one particular group got together and they did an exercise of going to the east coast of Florida and taking pictures of the sunrise. And then getting in their cars and driving to the west coast of Florida and taking the same day pictures of the sunset on the water.
Oh my gosh.
And that was pretty cool. They had it measured out. And I think, matter of fact, I think the east coast, they were in Titusville or Merritt Island or something, and then went straight across to where it was like closest. That was pretty fun.
Now you've given me an idea for tomorrow's topic.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm such a good helper. I can do it without even trying.
You don't even try. And you didn't just say, today. You actually got into the conversation. Thank you.
Oh, sure. but I do want to go ahead and be the bearer of this particular bit of news that our time has run out
for
today. And so we need to get back to what other that we're doing, and look forward to hearing from everybody who's listening out there online, if you would be so kind. We really enjoy having you interact with us, and we'll try to interact back. Visit beunique.org and to check out all of our shows and the whole website. It's a great website.
And you can find all the information about all of our shows on beunique.org. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I really think that sometimes we have these dreams of going places or doing things to help us on our spiritual path.
Mm-hmm.
Or because we have a connection or a tie to someone, just like perhaps that foreign exchange student from Spain came into my life, created a bond for me at a time I needed that bonding.
Mm-hmm.
And he's no longer a part of my life in any, it was interesting because his mother used to write me letters and she'd send him a letter, she'd send me a letter. And I thought we'd created a family bond. As soon as I divorced my ex, it was like, nope, we don't want anything to do with you anymore. Actually, before, as soon as he went back home, they cut all ties.
Well, yeah.
But I thought it was odd. They came and we had a great time, and they sent, oh my, amazing Christmas gifts. And then at the end, she sent me this wonderful thank you gift. Thank you for taking care of my son for the last year. And I sent her a note, and we wrote, and I thought, wow, this is a great pen pal relationship. As soon as he got back on that plane, it was over. Huh. However, for a long time, I still continued the dream of going to Spain. And my ex, when I told him that I needed to move on, he said, well, give me another chance. And I said, well, I've given you 25 years worth of chances, I'll give you one more. And he said, I want to take you on a trip. I said, great, let's go to Spain. He knew that I'd always wanted to go to Spain. He said, what about Mexico? We can afford Mexico. I can't afford Spain. Well, I hated to tell him, but Mexico is not Spain. I had a great time in Mexico. In fact, it's one of those places where I knew just enough English, Spanish to get into trouble. And it was great, but it was not Spain. Since my life has taken a different turn, I no longer have this burning desire to go to Spain. So I don't know if my dream has changed or if my my reality has changed, and it's no longer a dream because I no longer need it in my life. And it may be that way with you and your trip, your desire to be a cowboy, ride out into the sunset, go west, young man, go west. You're not the same person you once were. So somewhere down the line, I think, whatever this compulsion was for us to go somewhere else, we've resolved it on a spiritual level. So we no longer have that feeling. We don't need it anymore. For me, going to Spain was a necessity. It wasn't just something I wanted to do. It was something I needed to do.
Interesting.
And now I don't feel that I need to do it.
Well, and that's a good point, because I remember when I fell in love with the idea was about 1976, and I was in the cold, dark South Dakota winter, and they had just built an auditorium in town, and ZZ Top and America came through town, and coming out of that blizzard night and snow and into that auditorium, and the aroma in there with all the smoke and everything. And then the concert coming up, and the guys came out in their long hair and their bare feet playing, talking about Ventura Highway. And man, I was, the harp started floating, and I was going to California, and that place doesn't exist anymore. Neither do I. So I think that's what plays in a lot to what you just said. You know,
I think
it's a different thing now.
Our dreams change because we found a different path to achieve whatever that dream was going to fulfill for us.
Right, exactly.
I wanted all my life to be a hippie. Honest, I wanted from the time I was, I don't know, maybe 9 or 10, I wanted to go to Woodstock. I didn't even know about Woodstock. I think I was 14 when Woodstock happened. Of course, I was much too timid to hitchhike or take out on my own or leave my family. It would have been frowned upon by the establishment for sure. But my youngest son actually said one day, Mom, why didn't you ever migrate out to California? And I asked him, why would I? And he said, well, because you're such a hippie. And I guess I am, but I thought I had to wear flowers in my hair and bangles and bell bottoms. I mean, I do, but I thought I had to dress and look a certain way to be a hippie. Right. Well, a hippie is nothing more than someone who's in touch with Mother Earth and wants.
Hip.
Yeah. What is the word hippie actually?
Well, hip to Mother Earth, hip to what's the real deal. I think that's how I always kind of did it. Hey man, I'm hip.
A person of unconventional appearance, typically having long hair associated with a subculture involving a rejection of conventional values and the taking of hallucinogenic drugs.
Oh man, that was written. That definition was written by the man trying to bring us down, man.
Oh man, that's crazy. But another word for hippie is a bohemian.
Bohemian, yeah.
Is a socially unconventional person, especially one involved in the arts. Well, that's so definitely me.
Yeah. Hippie, yeah. I think tie-dye unicorn leggings probably count as hippie material,
mention,
you know.
Not to mention my hair.
The hair, yeah.
You know, it's. I think it's a mental state of being rather than a physical. And I was a hippie long before I tie-dyed my hair or started wearing the unicorn leggings.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. Because believe it or not, I think you and I just did our third show.
Oh my, okay.
Well, I'll
tell you what.
I'm going to say goodbye.
That sounds good.
If it turns into a good show, I'll add some music and intro to it and we'll go from there.
Well, I'll tell you what. How about this? Instead, just in case it works, how about I go ahead and play a song now and we'll do our intro at the end?
Perfect.
All right. Never mind, I won't sing. Well, I've never been to Spain, but I've been to Oklahoma.
Yeah. Ties right in with this week's conversation about traveling to Spain and never quite getting there.
And you know what? I just thought about that was one of my childhood dreams the same time as California. And I have been to Spain.
Where did you go?
I went to, I can't remember the name. It's not Gaeta. That was in Italy. It was similar. I can't think of the town.
Not Ibiza. Not Ibiza.
No. It was a port city, and I was in the Navy, and we pulled into town.
Mallorca?
No.
I'm thinking of all the places Richard had gone when he was in the Navy.
Well, you know, and I could probably pick it out on a Mac, because I remember we went to Spain, and the name of the town was very similar to the same place we went later on to Italy, which was Gaeta.
Okay.
I'm not.
I know it. Richard went to Ibiza, which blew my mind because he can't stand electronic music.
Right.
And I'm looking this up because I think there is a Gaeta, Spain. Yeah, there is Gaeta, Spain.
That was it then. Yeah, it was amazing. All of Europe, Portugal. I went to Lisbon. That's where I lost my virginity.
Oh, he lost his virginity in Spain, actually.
Really?
Yeah, that's so funny. You and sailors are all the same.
Well, you know, I just think it's so ironic because all the way up from South Dakota, I went all the way to Lisbon to lose my virginity to an Angolan hooker, you know, from the Portuguese colony.
Yeah.
I think that kind of tied me genetically or DNA-wise, energy-wise, to my whole life's journey of this whole deal, you know?
That's so pretty funny. Well,
isn't it? Talk about the spirit journey. What a great, I can just see right now sitting there in my conference with my ancestors saying, okay, well, I don't know. How about there? No, that won't work. how about this one all the way over here?
Yeah, I think sometimes when we plan our life courses, we just sit there in the other world and throw darts at a map. I mean, my mom was born and raised in the same city that she died in. Her grandfather died in the same bed he was born in.
Wow. A lot of people are like that. I have that
bed frame.
Wow.
It's a metal bed frame. And Curtis and I were discussing yesterday what to do with it.
Wow. That's very wild.
Yeah.
It's such a foreign concept to me. I mean, just so opposite. My second wife had that experience. She was from North Carolina. And we went and visited her parents, and they lived on the same piece of property that the grandparents lived on. And they went to the same church that, like, 200 years, that same church had been there, and the same family had gone to the same church and lived in the same. And this is a kid who, oh my goodness, I never went to more than one. I went to 2 years at the same school once or twice in growing up as a kid, you know, and I've been going. And I've been born to be wild.
Folks, we have jocularity by the bucket loads over here. Oh, man. Gene, I'm still recording this, so this is going to be a show.
Well, I'm going to go on the record then and saying I like smoke and lightning. You know, you asked me who my favorite Greek god is. It's always been Zeus.
Oh, yes.
I think we were twins separated at birth sometimes.
But
I've had to control myself, and he never did.
Well, I think I tie in very strongly with Athena and Venus also.
Yes.
The warrior goddess of love. or I might be more like... who's the blue one in Hindu?
Vishnu, Kali.
Kali, that's me.
Kali's one of those that you ask her to go ahead and take care of business for you. You better be very specific, because she's going to lay waste.
I think, she's she who is black, she who is death, the goddess of time, doomsday, and death. No, I don't think that's me, actually. I'm afraid that's not necessarily who I want to be.
Well, Kali is so badass. I mean, she puts her foot on Shiva's head and tells him what to do, you know? And he gladly does it. And he's, you know, the king of the gods.
Yeah.
So
I have no idea who I would resonate with.
I don't. I just remember that, because I remember somewhere in my life. I don't know.
Well, you know what's so funny?
Life or whatever. But I've flown out over the Great Plains many times. Just lightning speed.
I looked up something, Gene. Uh-huh. And it's, you know, what Greek goddess am I? And there's a quiz. The first question is, it's Saturday night. What are you doing?
Uh-huh.
The options are getting glam to go out on a date, cooking a big meal for a dinner party with all your friends, reading a book with a nice glass of wine, going for a walk with your dog, and then watching a Netflix documentary. Nowhere does it say editing, revising, recording, working, doing administration, filing taxes, something to do with be unique or nonprofit. It's not in there.
No.
So I think I am Curtis used to call me the chocolate goddess. Because when I met him, I was all about cheap chocolate.
Oh, okay.
I thought cheap chocolate was the way to go. And then I got introduced to dark chocolate.
Right.
And really dark chocolate. And then I got introduced to expensive dark chocolate from Belgium.
Which is a whole other ballgame.
I will eat a cacao bean straight off the tree. I have a jar in my house that has just cocoa beans, and I will eat them. No sweetener, just crunch like a nut. And because of that, because of my deep, deep love for chocolate and all things related to chocolate, he calls me the chocolate goddess.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of who I am, I guess. I guess, you know, that makes sense for me. We were talking earlier about being hippies and how hippies and bohemians are non-conventional.
Right.
That's me.
Right.
I'm not conventional in any way, shape, or form. So taking a quiz about what kind of Greek goddess am I wouldn't make sense. Because I'm my own goddess. I am the goddess of Be Unique.
You are the Be Unique goddess.
I am. I'm it. So.
Well, you know, there. And that's the whole thing, is they're really kind of a collection. And what I'm finding is that it really is all there, and it's all exactly what it is. And it's just whatever resonates really is like the conduit or method or whatever.
Yes.
So anyway, all right. Well, I got to get ready to go. My friend John.
Okay.
And you know, because I'll be able to. I'm thinking about living in. I'll have to create like a little pop-up camper topper out of it. If I don't pull something, which I don't really want to, I'm just thinking making a little pop-up. The thing in the back door will lift up, and have a tent come down around it. Stretch out in there.
You know, they make those for bicycles too, right?
Yeah. Might do all that. I don't know. We'll see. But right now I've got to do short-term immediate goals. I'm going to find something, place to sleep, place to get some money. And I've got to stay close to Green Gables for a couple of reasons. See how things go over there. Cause you know, July is the big day or big month, I guess, when we're supposed to get our check. So
approve the grant?
I guess we're still waiting on the budget to be signed.
Okay.
If it's signed, we're good. That. Yeah. Well, and also, I've been writing to the legislators. So anyway, I don't know. It's really been my big holdup, is just deciding what kind of job to try to go get, because of a couple of different considerations, and that's it. I've decided, and I'm going to sleep here.
Why don't we manifest? Why don't we just sit down and I'll write it down, put it in my book, and it'll happen. What kind of job do you want?
Job in the moment. So that would be some kind of service job, I guess, where I deal with things as I come along. Interpret institutional goals really well. You tell me exactly what you want. I can use your intention to think on my feet pretty quickly. You know what I mean?
Gene.
What?
Have you ever considered just signing up with a temp agency?
Well, and that's probably what I'm going to be doing. You know, and it's been a long time since I did that. And last time I did it, they wanted my resume first, and that's always a challenge, because then they want to pick you to go back and do the shit you're already doing. Excuse me, the stuff you're already doing.
Oh, which, damn. Did you say a bad word?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
I paid for our honeymoon off of a temp job. Neither Curtis nor I, we lost our job with the computer center we had. The hurricanes killed it, and so it was time for it to go anyway. So he was looking for the kind of work that he wanted, which is computer work,
right?
And he kept getting the kind of work he, like you said, the kind of work he'd always had. Hang on a second. What's up?
Ricky said that Governor Ron DeSantis signed that order, which keeps our permit open for yet another 90 days.
Yay. Good job.
So we called a break.
Good. Thank you.
We need a few.
Yes, we do. Our permit was about to expire, but the governor just signed it, a mandate or whatever, so that building permits are still open. So we're good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
As Curtis says, we needed a break.
Yeah.